we have been in the midst of a series on worship and what that means. Recognizing that worship is much more than music, and you've heard me say that here so many times. We worship God in many different ways. It is a command, it's a responsibility, and it's so very important for us as we live every day to worship God. Worship is to honor something or someone. It's adoration. And as I shared with you, everybody worships. Not many in church, as there should be. We worship things. We worship an idea. We worship an ideology. We worship a person that we admire so much. We don't want to call it worship, but that is what it is. And the Bible tells us that God has said that nothing can be above Him. So if we have anything in place over God and of importance in our lives are out of order. Amen. And to recognize and to understand that until things are in right order, there's going to be an element of disunity in the things of your life. To maybe even ask yourself, why can I never seem to get settled? My life is always some storm going on around me, and I realize things happen from the outside, but is your life in order this morning? Do you have God in the place that He should be in your life? And I have said this many times through the course of this series, but again, it's the quote, show me where you spend your time, your effort, your money, and I'll tell you what you worship. Can you examine that in your life this morning? Can you be honest about that? To say, listen, this gets the majority of my time. Is that something now that's over God? Is that something that's out of place? But the thing about worship is, and our definition of worship, is that it is not confined to a singular day of the week. It's not a Sunday-only activity. Worship is not something that you only do in this room with our worship team in front of you. That's a part of worship. Worship is every day. Worship is about the words that I speak. It's about the things that I do. And to understand that means that we know it has to begin here. Worship begins in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, He said, the words that come out of our mouths come from the heart. This is the place that it begins. So if you desire to increase your level of worship, in whatever that means, it begins with the condition of your heart. And for worship to be acceptable to God, again, as we read in the book of John, the 4th chapter, it is done in spirit and in truth. Now, with that established, let's ask this question. So what's worship supposed to look like? I mean, we've talked about the fundamental element of it. I pray that you've got a better understanding of what worship is and why that's important and how that should be done in the spirit and the truth. But how does that express itself here on a Sunday morning? Now, I am going to take us into Sunday morning service, and we are going to talk about what happens here at Remnant Life Church. What are you allowed to do? I mean, are there rules? Are there regulations for this? Yeah, there are. They're not mine. They're not Dave Dorado's. They're from the Word. And as we recognize and understand that there are so many different ways to express worship, we need to make sure that it all comes from what the Scripture tells us is right. I shared with you, I've been in some churches where I was scared sitting in the chair. I didn't know if somebody's going to run up and body slam me, Chuck. I don't know what they were doing. I mean, and they are running up and down the aisles, and people are hooting and hollering. And, you know, there's a piece of me that went, okay, this is unique, this is different, but it doesn't seem like God's getting any glory in this. I've got a stopwatch at the end of the aisle. I'm clocking a guy coming down. No, it was a good time. Okay, not really. But that's what I felt like I should have been doing. I didn't understand. What does this mean? And that's why I wanted to take these weeks to talk about worship. What does it mean with the things that we do? So this week and next week, I'm going to be talking about expressions of worship, and we're going to start what happens here every single Sunday, led by the people on the stage. The Bible tells us that there are a number of ways that we can worship and that we should worship Him. Now, I grew up in a Baptist church. How many of you are Baptist, former Baptist, current Baptist? Well, got history in the Baptist church. Okay. The church I grew up in was not a Southern Baptist, but it might as well have been. Pastor, my pastor growing up graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. That is about as conservative as you can possibly get. Fundamentally powerful, they teach the word, and there is nothing else. I'm great with that. I like that. But there's no expression. In the church that I grew up in, the highest that your hands ever came, and I watch, and there are a lot of people here as I do, you put your hands in the air. We're going to talk about that next week. But the highest your hands ever came in my church was how high it took for you to be able to see the words in the hymnal. That was it. No higher than that. No movements. I mean, if there was, and you only used an organ and a piano. And listen, I grew up with this. I'm not saying this is wrong or bad. It's just a style of worship. I came to recognize there was more available. But if I was in church and we were singing a song that was something other than 4-4 time, those of you that are musicians understand what I'm saying, you could tap your foot. Maybe. Don't get too carried away, though. All right? Don't be moving those hips. You just hold them still. Nothing the Bible says about hips. You could bounce. Or maybe you could nod your head a little bit, but that was it. So that's one way to worship. We in this church are more expressive in our worship. And there's many places that we can go with this. Paul writes in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians to this church, these churches, what it meant to worship, what that looked like. So in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That is why we do what we do here each morning. And I want you to understand and recognize what those three things are and why they are important. So the first thing Paul says is that you use the Psalms as a way to worship God. David and a number of other authors are the ones that wrote those psalms and what those look like. The word psalm in the original language is palmas. And what that translates literally into is the striking of an instrument. That's what the literal interpretation. So if you take that beyond the striking, it is the playing of musical instruments. That's why we do that in this church. Now there are churches, there are groups, denominations that don't have musical instruments. Everything is done a cappella. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Some of you I might ask to come after that's over. I'm not saying I would, but you make a joyful noise, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Now, they get up and they play instruments, but the way it was done in those days was that while the music was being played, the words were being spoken. Spoken words with the accompaniment of music. How many of you have been watching The Chosen? Probably a good number of you. Do you remember the scene when they go back to Old Testament and King David and his wife come in and they sit down and the minister of music has a new psalm for him? Do you remember this scene? What happens? He speaks the words while the choir is humming behind him, at least in this one. So the music was done in one part, and the speaking of the words was done as another. And many times those words were spoken as a prayer. That is what the fundamental element of what a psalm means. Music played while the words are spoken. And this also carried, the New Testament carries the psalms into it. Over 100 times in the New Testament are psalms either quoted or referenced. So it was an important part of the way that the people worshiped in that time. When David wrote his psalms, those words were intended to be spoken, to speak the words. Now again, let's dive a little bit into that so you see why. The word speak in the original language is laleo, And it is written in, watch this, the present progressive text, which means it is not something that is done once, it is ongoing. That's why we worship God in everything that we do, everywhere that we are. It isn't just one time coming into a service to sing these songs. How many of you sing or listen to worship music during the course of the week? Many of you do. Yeah, absolutely. And the difference that can make in your heart and in your spirit, just if nothing else, my focus is on Him. Again, Gene and I were talking earlier, and just recognizing that so much of the music today, well, most of the music today is garbage. It's horrible. But doesn't it make sense that because God created music as a way to worship Him, that Satan would want to try to steal that and to pervert it? Is it any wonder? And I mean, many of those things you absolutely cannot listen to. You cannot even look at the words. It isn't a matter of couching it or covering it in something. They're saying, sing things today that are just the grossest things you could possibly imagine. Why? Because Satan has come and perverted what it was that God created. David wrote the Psalms to be spoken. And again, because it's in that progressive text, it's an ongoing thing that we do, and it represents that worship should be a regular, continuing part of our lives every single day. See, those Psalms were written and preserved for us to use today. Many times, Katarina and I have advised people when they come and say, listen, I'm just at my wit's end about this or that. I don't know how to pray about this. I don't know what to say to God. You know what we tell them? Pray the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. David was involved in virtually every single thing in his life that you and I have to deal with today. Some of it much more. And let's face it, King David, number one, beloved, man after God's own heart. His life was like a Jerry Springer show. Let's face it. I mean, with all of the things that he was dealing with in his life, his kids are murdering each other. And David goes before God. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. This child dies because of that. And God waits for David. And David comes to him and says, create in me a clean heart. Renew your spirit. Don't take your presence away from me. How many times have you felt like that in your time, in your life? Say, God, I have messed up so bad over here. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know how it got to this. But create in me a clean heart. Renew my spirit before you. These are the Psalms. These are the things that Paul said. You can build your worship around those words. Many of those that write songs today use the Psalms as information, as things that they write about. Because the words are still true. They're still powerful in our lives today. See, the emotion that David had to deal with are the same kinds of emotions that you're faced with. David was very happy about things in his life. He was very distressed. He was in danger. Don't forget, Saul chased David for a long time, trying to kill him. It wasn't just, hey, I want to talk about the fact that I don't like how you're doing something. No, Saul wanted to kill him. David was running for quite a bit of time in fear. And he cried out to God, God, how long are my enemies going to be able to come after me? How many times have you said something similar to that? How long, God, am I going to have to walk in this? How long, God, is this person going to be allowed to do the things that they're doing? How long do I have to keep my mouth shut because of what I want to do, but I know that I can't because it would not honor you? How long? God hears the cries of our hearts, church. If you don't know what to say, open the Psalms. Begin to speak those words. And let me encourage you with something. When you pray the Scripture, do it out loud. Do it out loud. God created us to make noise. God created our throats to make sound. And sounds in the Scripture carry great authority and power when spoken to God or from God. Speak those words to Him. Let those things be heard by your ears. Let that resonate with you when you're crying out to Him, when you're thanking Him, when you're giving him glory for something that you just had no idea how it was going to work, but God came through in his time and it was perfect. Perfect. Again, that's why when we come back to what's going on here at Remnant Life with our church, it's going to be perfect, church. It will be perfect, I promise you. Because that's the only way God does things. And that's also true for your life. If you're willing to wait, if you're patient with what it is that God's doing, it'll be perfect. And David wrote those Psalms and so many others, and Paul said to them, worship God with the Psalms. The second thing he talks about are hymns. Now that word, hymnos, these are sacred songs because they involve the human voice. Hymns are things that we sing. They are words and music that are joined together. And because of that, there's so much emotion that can come from that. Any of you ever been singing a song and you have to stop because you're crying? I can't tell you the number of times that's happened to me. It's happened to me here. It's happened to me at many places that I've gone. I walk in. I don't remember what the church name was, but I walked into a church building for the first time. And they started singing and I was singing and I couldn't get three words out. And I thought, okay, God, what are you doing here? There's something going on here that I need to be aware of. But the emotion becomes so much a part of that. Now, for most of us today, when you say the word hymn, you are likely thinking of something that was probably written around the late 17th to the 18th century. And you're looking at names like Charles Wesley and John Newton and Isaac Watts and some of the great old hymn writers of those days. If I were to mention those songs, virtually all of you, except my converted Catholics that never sang these songs, it's so funny. Okay, Christy, sorry, you're in it now. First few times, we were singing songs up here, and I saw her just kind of studying the words, and I said, well, I said, you know that song. She said, I've never heard that song in my life. I mean, it was like one of the fundamental songs of church. She said, I've never heard that song in my life. Now she knows the songs. But when we think of hymns, that's normally what we think of. But hymns have been a part of worshiping God since David's time and even before. And Paul is encouraging the reader to utilize these things, to express themselves. But here's the thing we have to watch and be careful of. While those songs and while worship will bring emotion, we have to understand that emotion can be a two-edged sword. Because God created us as emotional beings. There's nothing wrong with emotion. It's appropriate, it's proper for you to be moved. And if God's moving on your heart, you may cry, you may want to laugh, you may want to shout to him. That was your cue, Vance. You missed it. That's all right. That was one of your moments to yell your amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. All of those things are appropriate within the context of the service. But if it's left unchecked, emotion, when it's not focusing on the things of God, can easily be used as a tool of manipulation, even within the church. And see, that's something here that I'm always cautious and aware of. We will never do anything here to try to elicit emotion out of you. I will never try to get you to feel a certain way. That's why you've heard me say here many times, when I'm preaching, it is not for there to be condemnation. I don't preach guilt. Because there's nothing of that in the scripture that Jesus did. Did people feel guilty? Yes, they did. But that was not what Jesus tried to do. See, I don't want you to be guilty about something. I want you to be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's when change takes place. Not because I'm up here doing a masterful job of manipulating you to feel a certain way. Could I do that? Probably. But there's no value in that. It's not of God. I'm not called to manipulate you. I'm called to point you to Jesus. I'm called to point you to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, that is the emotion that's going to bring change. And see, when this happens, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start just focusing on the emotion of what it is that's going on, it's no longer being led by the Spirit. It's being led by the flesh. And I can say that of, I think, many of the great revivals that have taken place in the last 100 years or so, and there have been a few, that most all of them have come to a halt, not because God left, but because the people took their eyes off of God and started putting them on people. And they started wanting to have an experience while they were there. See, again, church, we don't chase the things of God. We chase Him. We're hungry after Him, not the things. Because if you're where God is, those things are going to then be present. But that's the only time that that's going to happen. Not because somebody crafts it, but because of His presence there. And see, at Remnant Life, I want you to express your emotions. I'm delighted when you do that. Not because it's something that you think, okay, well, wow, this sounds like an emotional moment. I better have some emotion now. You know it doesn't work that way. But there are a number of you that stand as a demonstration of your worship. Again, we'll talk more about that next week. A number of you lifting your hands. Some of you crying out, hallelujah, praise God. All of those things are very appropriate because they're acts of worship before Him. God created us as emotional. And it's right and proper for us to use that to glorify Him. So we have psalms, Paul said, hymns, and here's the third one, spiritual songs. Paul is proclaiming that those who are filled with God's Spirit, they're going to overflow with songs. Now, you're going to go, awesome, that means I can now sing? Sorry, can't pull that off for you. I'm going to start writing songs? Well, if God gives it to you, but no, that's not what this is about. What this is an outpouring. It's an outpouring from your heart to sing to Him. And again, for many of us, it takes place right in this type of a setting, or perhaps even someplace by yourself. But you know, that's also very appropriate because Paul even makes allowances for that. When he talks about that you can sing the songs within your heart. In all of those things, my friends, there is such power in the Holy Spirit. When we release ourselves to enter in, when we're willing to not care what I sound like, I just want to worship God. I want to sing to Him. But let me just have you look at something quickly here. Turn to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the 16th chapter. See, in whatever way that you vocally express your worship, Paul's primary point is that the one who allow themselves to be filled with the Spirit will demonstrate God's presence in some way of expression. And that's what we're talking about, the expression of God. Okay, what did I say? 16? All right, wait a minute. Let me catch up to you. 13, 15, 16. All right, 25th verse. Start verse 25. This is a familiar account. I'm going to read through to the 34th. This is about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, quick trivia question real fast. Where are they? Are they a church? Are they in a synagogue? Are they at a home of someone loving and kind? They just had a meal. Oh, they're full. They're good. Let's sing some praises to God. It's a beautiful place where we are. Where are they? They're in prison. They're in jail. And believe me, the jails back then were not like the jails now. There was no prisoner association of kind treatment or whatever it is that they have then. No. As a matter of fact, if you went to jail, usually you weren't heard from again, often. So they're singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prisoners' doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Now we're in the supernatural, because prior to that, it was an earthquake. There was a great shaking and a rumbling, and that does happen. And could the doors get knocked off a little bit and swing open? Well, sure, if they come cattywampus to each other, or whatever that technical term, Bill, is. But the doors could come open. Chains falling off their wrists? There's something else going on here. At once the doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Verse 27, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for light, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. See, all of this occurred through the power of worship, of singing, singing hymns. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the environment, not only were Paul and Silas miraculously set free, but we just read the jailer and all of his family came to believe in God. You see, church, that's what happens when you are worshiping focused on God. His power can be seen. His power is demonstrated. You've heard me say so many times, when we're worshiping, I ask God to bring healing. Do you have the faith to be healed while you're singing here at church? Do you have the faith to recognize that God can change you from within while you're singing to him? Do you have the faith to believe that God can heal a relationship that's been broken for so long by singing praises to him? You see, my friends, God is not contained. God does not have to work within the framework of what we tell him needs to be done and when. God is not going to speak to your heart only when I'm talking. No. God's power is available in all of this. And by singing to God in the midst of all of that, Paul and Silas activated what it was that God desired to do in that moment. That's the power of worship. It's why we do it here at Remnant Life. It's why that time when Dave and the team are singing, my prayer is that you are not focused on how they're playing or how they sound. My prayer is that you're not looking to see what people are wearing or any of those kinds of things. And don't look at me like you're all pious. It's what we do. We listen. I'm listening. But they're good. I don't need to listen to them for any other reason other than just lead me into the presence of God. Lead me to that place where my heart is surrendered, where the things out there are out there. They'll be waiting for you. Focus on him when you're in these moments and in these times. Remember I said the other week, everybody worships. Question is who and what? What do you worship this morning? And see, many people get enamored with the talents and the abilities and the sound. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But church, that's not what our heart's focus should be. The expression of worship is no more spoken of in God's word, especially that of singing, than again, it's in the Psalms. The word sing is used 69 times in the NIV version. It's a constant theme, but here's the other theme. And again, that's the heart. Paul says in Ephesians 5:19, making music in your hearts. That's worship. It's an attitude of surrender. It's making sure that whatever it is that's going on around you, that I can put my focus and my heart on him and just say, God, thank you for this time with you. Thank you, God, that you are with me. Thank you, God, that you'll strengthen me. That whatever it is that's happening, and I may get knocked down, I may fall into the hole over here of whatever that circumstance is, but I know you're there, Father. I know that you're there to lift me out. I know you're there to sustain me during those times. And Paul uses the word for heart, it's cardia. It's not to identify the muscle that beats on the left center of your chest. That's not what that is. The heart there that Paul speaks of is the thing that is the seat of your spiritual life. It's the thing, the fountain of your thoughts and your passions, your desires, your affections, your purpose, your intellect. It's the will and the character of who you are. All of that within your heart. Is it any wonder that we're told in the scriptures that we need to surrender that to him? It's everything that makes you who you are. To surrender to him. It's the creative act of God that changes us, church. It isn't our own desires. It's not our own attempts at self-improvement or any of those kinds of things. That's not what's going to make a difference. It's going to be surrendering our hearts to Him. And when we do that, we have a place here each and every Sunday morning that we can come and express that. So during Sunday services, you don't have to stand if you don't want to, but you're welcome to. You don't have to lift your hands to God, but you're welcome to. And again, I'll talk more about that next week. You are not required to cry out hallelujah or praise God, but you're welcome to do that, because those are all expressions of worship to Him. It's what God's Word tells us is right for this. It's why we were created the way that we are, to have emotion. You may just need to sit and cry for a little bit. That's okay too. Do you need to kneel down while we're singing because you just don't feel like you can stand and I don't think I should be sitting? I got to get close to the floor. I need my face on the floor. That's fine. You do what you need to do. And you can be safe here to do that. There's no one looking at you going, what's that about? What are you doing? I'm worshiping. You can be safe here knowing that we understand what God's Word says in whatever way that you desire to express that when we are singing together. I want you to know you have the freedom to do it. Not just because I say you can, but because God's Word says you can and you should. See, again, as we spoke this morning, when we surrender our hearts to Him, we can sing a new song. Not only is your name different, but you can now sing a new song because I'm not the same that I was. I'm a new creation in Him. And see, when that is certainly, I believe, when we recognize and understand and believe and embrace that, that is what is so worthy of our adoration and our worship of God, one true God, our Heavenly Father. He knows your name. He knows what it is you're walking through right now. What else would I want to do but just say thank you? Let's pray together. Amen. Well, Father, I do thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you, God, that you have given us the opportunity and the ability to worship you in this way, to sing to you. And God, this is not about what it sounds like. It's about what's coming out of my heart. Because, Father, that is the place that I want to surrender to you in all things, to know, God, that as I surrender my life, as I give myself over to you, I am changed. I'm not the way I used to be. And so before, I couldn't sing because I don't even know what to do. But Father, you accept what it is that we bring to offer when it's done with the right heart. So I pray, God, a sense of freedom for my brothers and sisters when we are in this place. I pray, God, that there would be a sense of safety, that I can maybe try something I've not done before, but I just feel like it's a way I want to worship God, and we welcome that here, Father, because we want to worship you with all that we are. Father, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for your presence in this room. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, that everyone we contact, every circumstance that we encounter, we would speak and act in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Because, God, that's also a part of my worship. I'm worshiping you, God, by acting in a way that brings you glory and honor. Keep everyone safe, I pray, as we leave. And again, Father, we thank you for your time with us and for the time that we have with you, God. What a blessing, what a pleasure, what an honor it is to be able to share all of that with our church family. We look forward to what you have in store for us. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.